Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here with some Big Brother Canada 6 post-finale coverage. There were no exit interviews for the jurors after the finale, so I have been working very hard to get in touch with these jurors that made a some would say, surprising decision with the ultimate winner of the season. So lots to ask them about why they made the decision they did, go over their games a little bit. So I'm very excited to get into all of this stuff with these Big Brother Canada 6 jury members. And first up here, the first person I managed to nail down was Ryan, who came and talked to me about his decision, his game, how he feels about Kayla and Paris, what he thinks went through the minds of Johnny, Allie, and Olivia, who seemed to be the ones that changed their vote in the jury house, and as well as, you know, what Maddie's influence was, and everything in between as well. And I did my best to try and get his thoughts on our read throughout the season, like letting him know some of the stuff that we saw, and seeing what his reaction to that was. So without further ado, let's talk to Ryan. I've got Ryan with me here today. How you doing, Ryan?
Good, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
I'm very curious to talk to you. We were just talking about, like, there weren't any backyard jury exit interviews. So there's so much that we don't know, so much that that I think a lot of people have been looking to or waiting to hear from you and from the other jurors. So I'm very excited to talk to you today.
Well, that's good. Yeah, this is the first interview I've done since leaving the process. So I'm kind of interested to see what questions are coming my way. I haven't had time to kind of go back through the season yet and check it out. I watched a couple episodes, but I've been avoiding my own HOH because it went so terrible. So which makes it difficult because that's episode 3. So but I really don't know what's gone on and what everybody thinks of me, really, beyond what I've gotten in the last couple of days on Twitter.
Yeah, it must be such a crazy experience to get out of the house, and you have been gone for, you know, 70 plus days, and you've been broadcast to the country and multiple countries, and you're just like, do people hate me? Do they like me? And I'm sure Twitter is confusing about that, because I'm sure you have plenty of people that are like, yes, Ryan, we love you. And also, I'm sure there are plenty of people that are like, oh no, you suck. It's like, it's hard to get a good feeling.
Yeah, the internet is going to be that way no matter who you are.
Exactly.
There's going to be people who love you, and there's going to be people who hate you. I don't really focus on any of that. I retweet the positive and I comment on the negative, because I know that those people don't actually know me. And they only know the impression that they have of me. And so I'm not ever offended that somebody doesn't like me who doesn't know me. You can hate me all you want. It's not going to bother me, and it's not going to make me lose sleep at night.
Yeah. You talked about your first HOH week. That was, the feeds came on right after the HOH competition that you won. And the first thing that we saw was, you talking about putting Andrew up on the block, and we were like, uh-oh. looking bad already. Oh no.
Really a terrible decision, right from go. I had it. So my thoughts going in, everybody before I won the HOH, the consensus in the house was that Andrew and Hamza had to go up on the block, and whoever won HOH, if they didn't put up Andrew and Hamza, were going to find themselves on the block the next week out of revenge. Mm-hmm. Taking that information and trying to work with it meant that, yes, I knew Andrew and Hamza had to go up. Because if not, I was likely on the block the next week and probably going home. A lot of people felt like Andrew and I were very close, and no matter what he did, I was going to be down for it. And the guilt by association, from a gameplay standpoint, was certainly there for me. So I felt like I had to put them up. Now, I was desperately trying to hope to see that someone would win the veto, preferably Andrew Hamza or myself. and be able to pull one of them off and put Liv up and try and send Liv home. But it just didn't turn out that way. And you know, the best laid plans and all that. But and it didn't end up working out for me either, because the rest of the house didn't really kind of jive with the idea that I went with what they wanted. And so that still saw me on the outside. So I regret it. I've regretted it every day since I did it. And I'll continue to regret it forever, because I just made a boneheaded decision, and there's nothing I can do about it now.
Yeah, the one-on-one conversations you had as HOH, I really enjoyed, especially as the feeds were just coming on and we were getting to know who you guys were. We did big, for the final three, I did live feed update every single day. And for the final 3 days when the feeds were off, we went through the final three and their games from start to finish. And in every single game long recap, there was a point where we were like, okay, and this is what their conversation was with Ryan that week that he was HOH, because you did get a lot of information out of them, especially again for the people that were watching that were like, okay, who are these people? Who are they targeting? Who are they aligned with? You ended up getting quite a lot of information.
Yeah, I got a lot of information, which was good, but at the same time, it ended up costing me my game, I think. So I was able to provide, a lot of info for the feeders, it didn't really work out for me. What I was looking for was an acceptable backdoor target, and it seemed like Liv was acceptable to most in keeping Andrew and Hamza if I was able to get Andrew down off the block. I really kind of felt like I needed to be able to say, okay, well, you know, there's this 4-week plan that everybody's talking about, but that doesn't mean anything if we're all here after 4 weeks. So let's see where we can go. It was a piss poor attempt at alliance building, and it really backfired.
Yeah, well, you ended up revealing a decent amount of that information. For instance, people mentioned Erica's name to you, and then you went to Erica and gave her kind of a warning, like people are looping you in with Johnny and Olivia. But then that kind of got out. And I think that Derek was talking with Jesse about potentially, because Derek... feel free. You can stop me at any point if you.
That's okay. I'm learning a bunch of things too. So
So that's part of the fun for me is like going over it with the person who lived it. So basically, after you talked with Derek and Jesse, they felt pretty good about you. They had a guys. Like a bro alliance. It was Derek, Jesse, and Will. And right. Derek and Jesse talked after their one-on-ones with you. They talked about bringing you into that bro alliance as a fourth. And then at some point later on in the day, or maybe the next day, they sort of realized that Erica had been told some of the stuff that they had said about her. And they kind of got freaked out, like, oh, Ryan is leaking our information. Never mind. We're not going to bring Ryan into our alliance. And so that was like... a big thing that I think ended up happening with your game.
Yeah, it ended up, like I said, I tried to let people know who targets were, and I'm sure there's going to be receipts that show that I did specifically say, but I always tried to just kind of hint that people's names were being thrown out to see what their reactions would be and try not to individually throw anybody else under the bus. But unfortunately, when someone, the thing that I found out about a lot of the people in this particular season, and maybe it's consistent because I fully admit I'm not a feeder. I'm a guy that watches the show on TV when it's on. Clearly,
yeah, you'll run into a lot of 800 hour jokes.
Yeah, online. Which is fine. Like I watch the show on TV. I don't watch it online, that's because I enjoy. Like I don't know. Yeah, I've got so many other shows I watch. I just run.
It's a huge commitment to watch the live feeds for sure.
And despite what came out on Twitter, because I've tried to nip this one in the bud, my wife got very tired of dealing with the internet by the time I got home, and she said something unfortunate. So I do want to put out, I have nothing but respect for the feeders. I tried to talk to you guys as often as possible. whether or not I was in one of the camera shots at the time or not. I talked to the cameras when I was alone a lot, but, and that's because I recognize the fact that somebody is watching at all times. And I appreciated them, and I have nothing but respect for them because they show a level of commitment to the game that I don't for sure. Where was I? We were talking, nobody in that house could keep their mouth shut for a minute. Especially in the first couple of weeks, everybody, any conversation you had with anybody was immediately repeated. And as an older guy, I know that not every conversation needs to be immediately verified. You can take information and hold on to information, and you don't need to immediately run to everybody to find out what's going on. I think I underestimated people's ability to keep their mouth shut in that week, and it really cost me.
Yeah, I remember talking about, like, you were giving a lot of people advice, like watch out, you might be targeted, like, this is what some people are saying about you, maybe tone this part down, and they appreciated the advice, but then they would go around and be like, so Ryan said that people have been saying this about me, and then it would end up getting you in trouble.
Yeah, that's the thing that that amazes me, is the guy that was the go-between, I was the one who couldn't be trusted. Because everybody, of course, would just say, well, I didn't say that, because of course they're going to say that. They're not going to say, well, yeah, I'm the one that threw you under the bus. I am a straightforward guy in my day to day life, and I played the game pretty straightforward to that degree. I told people what people were saying about them, and then every single one of those people would run back to the person and run in and say, well, this is what Ryan said. And they said, well, I didn't say that. Ryan's a liar. It's like, well, no, that is what you said. And, you know, unfortunately, no one's going to figure that out until they get home.
That's actually, that brings me to one of the mysteries of the live feeds and the episodes, because the episodes did not confirm one way or the other. You told Paris that you heard Allie say, I don't trust that B.
Before I was up against Marin, yeah. And I was so sure that I was staying. And again, I thought all along that I was working with Paris and Maddie. I did hear Allie say it. Whatever she says and the feeds weren't able to confirm or didn't confirm, the show didn't confirm, I heard her say it. Having watched that previous, the one piece of live feeds that I've seen, besides me threatening to punch Kayla, which I'd be happy to address as well, the one piece of live feeds was Allie blows up at Ryan and the whole 20-minute conversation. And right in the comments underneath it, somebody wrote, well, she did say that like 2 hours before. And so I'm not a guy that can isolate feeds or anything else, but somebody in the comment thread for that video is like, but she said that 2 hours before. And I'm like, so I'll take that. But I mean, I heard her say it. She denied saying it. She swore on her mother. She swore up and down. But I think by that point, everybody was so conditioned to believe me a liar that there was no way it was going to get through. I did think I had something. I was working something with Maddie and Paris and Will at the time, and I gave them the information because I thought they needed to have it. But apparently, and again, every time I tried to give somebody information, it backfired in my face. So maybe I just should have shut my mouth.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, I don't think we ever got actual confirmation that Allie said it. But I believe what I said at the time was Allie had been saying similar things about Paris. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if she did say it. I haven't had a chance to ask Allie after the fact what she thinks. I mean, it very well could be like,
I know in the jury house she denied it too.
Okay. Okay.
So, and actually in my post-eviction media, somebody said, did you hear Allie say that bitch has to go? And I said, no, I didn't hear her say that. I heard her say, I don't trust that bitch. And I said, so that gave me the impression that maybe I had misheard it, but then the YouTube comment kind of validated. I know what I heard, but I mean, again, Allie will deny it till the end of the earth, I think, because she's not willing to step back, I think, from the position she took given on what she swore on. But I stand by my position too.
All right. Well, there you go. Also, just like to briefly comment about like what your wife said. I think it's admirable what the family members go through, especially when they're running the Twitters during the season. I don't think anybody should be blaming your wife for ending up, you know, snapping on somebody. She made it all the way through the season, you know, dodging this sort of thing left and right. So if there's anyone out there that's listening that still feels upset about this, like cut them some slack. This is somebody who has obviously had to deal with a lot emotionally throughout the entire season.
Well, yeah, and I signed up to play the game. She didn't.
Exactly.
And had I known from go that she was going to be the one running my Twitter account, I would have made that change. But that's not something that I was aware of until I got home. I knew that the dark side of the internet is not something that she's accustomed to, nor wanting to interact with. And so I would have had somebody else do that. Somebody who was, you know, more of a savvy Twitterer. But it's good to know that she made it almost all the way.
Yeah. You also mentioned that you wanted to address something about a comment that you made about Kayla.
Yeah. Okay. So two clips have come up into my feed that people have isolated for me. One suggests that I would be violent against Kayla, as I'm saying I would never put my hands on a woman. A lot of times during the season, when anything would come up, Kayla would physically posture to people, or kind of, you know, hitch towards them and things, as though she was going to charge at them. And the one clip that came into my feed said, "I wish she'd try that with me because I'd shut it down right quick." I just meant that I didn't feel intimidated by her, and so I wasn't going to back down or run. I certainly would not hit a woman, nor would I ever have hit Kayla for any reason. There's no reason to. And there's never a reason to. It wouldn't have happened. Another one came up where, you know, fall off and punch Kayla in the ribs. I was talking to Erica, and that came into my feed. So again, I know it's out there. Obviously a joke, not a good one, but not intended to mean that I would ever physically harm anybody for that matter, let alone a woman. It bothered me to see that. And it was a bad joke in context that I apologize for, but I never would, obviously, I never would lay my hands on anyone in violence. I just wanted to clear that up because the idea that that's the impression people have of me actually really bothers me.
Something that I think that a lot of people are very curious about, your feelings towards Kayla in general. Can you just explain where the negative feelings toward Kayla started and sort of like where you ended up with those feelings?
I think early on, Kayla had it in her mind. Kayla was told, I believe, during my HOH week that she was to be my backdoor target. And while that was never the case, and you know, there's proof of that, it was going to be Liv. Kayla acted as Kayla does. She is a very aggressive person when she feels threatened, and she felt threatened by me, and she made it very clear over the next few weeks that she was not, she wanted nothing to do with me. And in this game, when that's the case, that's not a tenable position to be in. I needed to see Kayla. I needed to get rid of her. I felt like there were moments in the house that I didn't quite appreciate her personality. But I know that people are going to feel the same way about me. I'm interested in talking to Kayla outside the house now that the game's over. I didn't really have a chance with the finale to do that, but I understand that she's a hyper competitive individual, and she said to me, repeatedly, you know, that I was the only one who knew who she really was. And I said those things to her face, that I felt like she was someone who smiles a lot, but isn't smiling on the inside, and is a hyper competitive person, and is mean about it. And she said to me repeatedly that I was the only one that had her figured out. So at that point, you know, my feelings towards Kayla, we played a game. We are both very competitive people, and we recognized that in each other. And we realized that each of us were a threat to our respective games. I tried to work with her on several occasions, but it was just never for real. And so on her end, it certainly would have been on my end because I had nobody. but yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what relationship, if any, Kayla and I have after the game, because I know I was not complimentary of her during the game and during the process. And she wasn't of me either. And there were some things that were said in the house and repeated to me that I didn't particularly care for. But again, I don't know how much of that is game and how much of that is personal. And so, you know, I said it to Maddie at one point. I said, no relationship is ever irreparable. And I believe that between myself and Kayla, whether or not Kayla ever believes that is something else. I haven't had any contact with her since I left, but I'd certainly be open to it.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from my experience, you know, covering these shows, talking with a lot of different players, stuff that is said in the house is often just like, you know, you kind of just like everybody understands that everybody talks trash at some point or another to varying degrees. And it's usually like once you're out of the house and you're out of that crazy context, you're usually able to, you know, come to a kind of understanding and repair things. Maybe not as often in Big Brother Canada. There are certainly some Big Brother Canada alumni feuds, but I think you and Kayla can get along for sure. Another question I had for you was like, how were you ever made aware how often Paris was actually sort of the person who was poisoning Kayla against you? Did you find any of that out in the jury, or what did you find out in the jury?
I didn't find any of that out in the jury because neither of them made it. Right. And the only other person that might have told me that would have been Derek. But the jury house for me, there was a whole lot of shouting between everybody, and I just wasn't interested in replaying the game from a perspective of 3 or 4 weeks ago. It made no sense to me. To me, once I was evicted, I took the information from people as they came in, and then I stayed somewhat isolated from the other game conversations because it was all people arguing about why, if they had worked together, their game might have been better. And I thought, you know, like, but it's not and it's over. And you can argue about it all day, but you don't need to. So did I know it was Paris sewering me against Kayla? No. But at the same time, I also know why she did, and it doesn't bother me. I know that she would have felt like Maddie was a better version for her of me than me. And that's because she felt like she had Maddie's trust the whole way. She felt like she had my trust the whole way. But unfortunately, Maddie was easier to beat. And I think nobody in the jury would have voted for Maddie to win. And so Paris felt like that was the case. And especially towards the end of my time in the house, there were people who were saying, yeah, if you got to the final two in the situation you're in, I'd have no choice but to vote for you. And so I think Paris saw me as a bigger threat to her game than Maddie. And so that's how that went down. I mean, I still hold the feelings I hold for Paris in my heart. And again, I know the game is the game, and there's not going to be any hard feelings as much as people might want to find clips of her saying nasty things about me. I know the connection that we had, and I know that she had to play the same game I was playing.
Yeah, and that is absolutely how it should be. Like, the fans are going to try and pin you against everyone. Like, look at what Paris said about you. Look at what all these people said about you. Again, like, stuff that's said in the house, it should be water under the bridge. And Paris, I think, did genuinely care for you in that house, even though she was kind of the cause of your demise. The week that Kayla was HOH, it was actually an interesting week where like I said, you had told Kayla all of this information about how Maddie came to you saying that you needed to target her and Derek. And Kayla, like, she bought that at first. Paris had come in and corroborated that story, saying that it was Maddie and Johnny. And then Maddie was just in tears because she knew Kayla was targeting her. And Paris, like, had a change of heart, went back to Kayla. And then even after already throwing Maddie and Johnny under the bus, she changed her story and said, no, it was all Ryan. Ryan came up with everything. It was Ryan's plan. And that's what flipped Kayla back. It was a crazy day of feeds.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not going to hold any grudges for how things went down. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I was somewhat exonerated there. From what I understand in the episode, they showed the conversation between.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, Canada knows. And that's all that really matters to me, you know, like for whatever happened on the feeds and all of that stuff. I didn't, you know, I made the move because I believed I needed to make the move, not because I wanted to. I felt like I was in a good spot with Derek and Kayla, and we were slowly building trust. There was all the conversation around the double, and we had talked before that. We were kind of avoiding each other in the short term. And, you know, trying to build some things up. When it finally kind of came to a head and Kayla nominated me, I just kind of thought in my head, you know, she's been played by whoever played her. And the fact that it was Paris is something that I'll have to deal with her later. It was clear to me at that moment that Kayla was the kind of social player that she claimed to be. Because, you know, I had given her, I'd always been straightforward with her. She never maybe felt like I was, but I had always been, and I was straightforward with her again there. And she chose to, instead of targeting the people, instead of taking my word and targeting the people who were targeting her, she kept the people who were targeting her, and chose not to nominate them. And I think that changed the game in a substantial way. I think I could have run with Kayla and Derek, and I wouldn't have hesitated to run with Kayla and Derek at any point. I sat them down in week two and said, you guys are already a showman's, and I'd love to be the third wheel in a showman's, 'cause that guy gets 20 grand. Mm-hmm. And you know, I held that position all the way along. I just never felt like Kayla was willing to work with me. So, however the feeds shook out in that scenario, again, I know that for Paris, Maddie was always better for her game than I was. And so if it came down to me against Maddie, she was going to try and save Maddie. And the fact that she completely changed her story and Kayla bought the second version of the story rather than people telling her beforehand is just more of a credit to Paris's game, I think.
Yeah, I think like looking back on it is probably the most impressive thing that Paris accomplished. That was a crazy morning. And then, of course, you mentioned that you were listening to some of the stuff we were talking about during your eviction week with everything Johnny did.
Yeah, it was the post eviction episode. So I hadn't got to where we talked the next day, but I listened to the post eviction episode today just to kind of get an idea of where things were. But Johnny played a remarkable game. I think Johnny for me is a Big Brother all-star. From my perspective inside the house, I think Johnny could come back at any point and be equally good at the game. I thought he did a phenomenal job of flipping the house against me.
Yeah, I mean between Paris and Johnny the next week, like, you should not have been Kayla's target the first time, and everyone should have evicted Johnny the second time. You're part of some amazing amazing plays there. I can't wait for you to just like walk. Maybe Johnny walked you through like everything he did, but just like convincing every single person that it was their idea to keep him in the house. And it was fun. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. When we talked to jury, unfortunately, we didn't really get to talk alone very much because shortly after arriving in the house, of course, he broke his foot. And so he wasn't, he wasn't a guy I could ever kind of talk to one-on-one about what happened in his game, because of course he arrived at, you know, shortly after Alejandro and right before Olivia. So as such, Johnny and I really never got to have those conversations, but in a, even in his goodbye message, he said, "I stepped my game up and that's why you're out of the house." And I went, okay. And knowing exactly what that meant, because I know what Johnny's capable of, and saw what Johnny was capable of all season. So it didn't surprise me to know that he manipulated the house to get rid of me, which was again, an astronomically bad decision.
Yes.
Especially for Allie and Liv, that they were a part of that, is something that I think Allie will regret for a while.
So can you tell me like the story of your experience in the jury house? You were there for a week alone. What happened when people started to come in? You said that they were doing a lot of arguing, but I know from my perspective and from most of the audience's perspective, I asked the question of you and of everyone else that went into the jury to like rank, you know, who you're most likely to vote for and who you're least likely to vote for. You remained consistent, obviously, but Johnny, Liv, and Allie in particular all said they were most likely to vote for Kayla. One of the people they were least likely to vote for was Paris. Maddie, when she talked to me, she said she might be more willing to vote for Kayla, but she also mentioned that she might go into the jury house trying to manipulate the jury into voting for Paris. Do you have any insight on like what happened there in the jury? What shifted some of those votes? What was the narrative going on?
Well, I can say from my end, I was always voting for Paris. I never questioned what was going on because I saw the game she was playing in the conversations we were having. And I thought, boy, if she can get to the final and not be sitting next to Johnny, then that was going to be my vote. As far as the other three goes, when we talked with Maddie and with Will and Johnny and I in the jury house, when we talked a lot about the game Paris was playing, I feel like we did bring Johnny around on voting for Paris, especially because there were conversations that suggested that Kayla was taking credit for a lot of the moves throughout the season that Johnny felt like he was responsible for. And so when that happened, I know that bothered Johnny because it felt like he wasn't getting the credit he deserved for his game. And so there was some of that. Allie and Liv, from everything they told me right up until we walked out on the stage, said, "We don't know who we're voting for, and we're not going to make our minds up until the speeches." And during the speeches, they felt like they didn't get any credit for what happened during the season and protecting Kayla and Derek to a degree to let, you know, to help facilitate them getting to the final three. And they felt like they didn't have, So there was a lot of things in there. But anyone who listens to this that ends up on a future season of Big Brother, I would suggest that calling the jury babies isn't the best way to get their vote. Kayla wasn't getting my vote against Paris regardless. She would have gotten my vote against Will, and I'll put that right. Like, if Will had gone to the final two with Kayla, I would have gone back on everything I had said to that point.
Oh, man.
Because of Will stepping down in that one veto, regardless of the deal that he told me afterwards and why he stepped down and the thinking behind it, the fact that he stepped down in that position with the way the other two were hanging on the wall from the footage we saw was amazingly bad to me. So I wouldn't have been able to vote for Will against Kayla. Or against Derek for that matter. Derek was kind of number two on my list when we got to top four. But Kayla would have beaten Will for sure. She just couldn't beat Paris.
That's crazy, because that was her plan. She was planning on taking Paris out at four, and then cutting Derek and taking Will to the end. But Paris ends up winning that final four HOH, and sorry, Kayla.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people online saying, oh, well, you know, she didn't make the move to cut Derek at five, or she didn't make the move to cut Derek at four, and all of these things, and saying, how could you possibly cut your alliance member right there? We all knew she was going to cut him eventually, and she got a couple of opportunities and didn't take them. So, you know, she could have cut him at five. She could have cut him at four with Derek being that person and maybe bettered her chances because Will hadn't won a competition all year. And Will might have been able to be convinced to throw the competition saying, I'll take you to the final two. So Paris did win the final three HOH and got there. And Caleb may have gotten $20,000 by keeping Derek and cutting Will. But it probably didn't help her very much towards getting towards the 100,000.
Yeah, I remember talking about the decision at Final Four. She did consider cutting Derek briefly, at least. And I remember us talking about, like, is this a spot where she's drawing dead if she doesn't cut Derek? Therefore, she needs to, but it makes her chances of getting there worse. I know that, like, I think. For the most part, most of the commentators, at least, said probably the best idea here to keep Derek and hope for the best in the final two, just because you don't want to put yourself in a must win spot at final three. But ultimately, knowing the results, definitely seems like a situation where that was probably the only move she had was to cut Derek in order to keep Will. Interesting.
And you did ask. Maddie was ceaseless in advocating against Kayla when she got to that house. She had nothing nice to say about Kayla in the jury house. And so I really didn't need to be the guy that was talking at that point, because Maddie was very almost relentless in advocating for anybody but Kayla. It was an interesting jury house, that's for sure.
I know that one thing Johnny told me going into the jury was that he was going to try and make sure that if Kayla and Derek were both in the finals, that he would want Kayla to win. Did he make any headway on that? Like, what would have happened if the two of them were in the finals?
I think that would have been an interesting way to watch the speeches. For me, I thought Derek... I had a few conversations with Derek before I left the house where he said just very clearly, I've been sitting behind Kayla this entire time because I don't want to show off that I am a threat, because people assume I'm a threat once I act like one. And as long as I don't act like one, then I'm not one. So that led me to really kind of put a little bit of respect onto what Derek had done so far. He recognized where he was situationally and was playing it as such. And so I do think Kayla would have won had she got there with Derek. I think that that Johnny probably would have voted for her. Liv and Allie were probably more likely to vote for her. Maddie might have also gone that way. I know Will was 100% not voting for Kayla. There was no way, because Will is a rather emotional guy. As I'm sure you guys saw, and he felt like as Kayla was the lone vote to evict him, he couldn't turn around then and reward that with the money. I would have been open to listening to Derek versus Kayla, but seeing Derek be more aggressive in the second half of the game when he needed to and start winning competitions when he needed to, that kind of fed into not needing to vote for Kayla there either. But I think she might have beat him if she got him there.
If you could point to, like, one particular thing or just one characteristic or just like one thing that Kayla did wrong, maybe that she could have done right, that would have that could have changed things, like, what would you say that is?
I think the difference between Kayla's game and Paris's game from a social standpoint was aggression. Kayla was aggressive socially, whereas Paris was empathetic socially. And between the two of them, that made a massive difference. People believed that Paris wanted the best for them. And I'm not sure anybody did believe that with Kayla. And this social connection in this game does matter. I mean, everyone can say it's a bitter jury and we should have awarded Kayla because of what they saw. And you know, I'm seeing things like the edit was anti-Kayla. You know, to suggest the edit was anti-Kayla would to suggest that the producers knew in the middle of the season that Kayla was going to be at the end. And there's no way for them to know that. So what, to suggest that the edit is pro-Paris in the middle of the year and anti-Kayla is revisionist. It was what Paris was seeing. It was what Kayla wasn't seeing. And the social connections weren't there for Kayla. I think that a lot of people felt like they had been used or were being used. And I don't know they felt that way about Paris, or at least they felt better about being used by Paris.
Yeah, I will say, and if you do listen to more of the podcast, you'll I'm sure hear about it, especially.
I will be going back to check it out.
Yeah, the one your eviction one, I think especially, were very upset because they showed almost nothing of what Johnny did.
Yes, I heard a lot of that, and I agree with you. By the way, I haven't watched the episode yet because I'm going to watch in order. But if they didn't show a lot of Johnny, that's unfortunate because Johnny deserves to be shown in the light that he is, which is going around and saving himself. Even when Allie walked into the house. Into the jury house, she said, yeah, I saved Johnny. Mm-hmm. And Johnny, when Johnny and Allie, that was the focus of a lot of heated conversations after the fact, was Johnny saying, no, I saved myself. And Allie saying, no, if not for me, you go home. And he said, if not for everybody, I go home. Yeah. It was a unanimous vote. So it was kind of, I'm kind of interested to go back and see feeds, but I know Johnny flipped the house on me. I'm not, and I would never suggest that it wasn't Johnny who did it. Because I know what he's capable of, and the conversations that we had led me to absolutely believe that's what he was capable to do. That's why in my chat with you on the day after I was evicted, I hyped him so much because Johnny's an incredible player and an incredible talent for Big Brother. So if he wasn't getting the edit, then that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think I mentioned at one point, like, if they wanted to, there could have been an edit where they went to like almost every single person in the house. Kayla, Paris, Allie, every single one of them like turned to the cameras and said, "Ha, I'm masterminding this plan to keep Johnny. He's pretending he's with other people, but he's really with me. And I'm tricking everyone into doing it." And like every single person said the same thing, that they thought they were behind it. It was marvelous to watch. The editing this season was not the greatest, which, my point being, I think there is some validity to people who are saying the edit was, anti-Kayla. I think they chose Kayla as the villain fairly early on in the season, which definitely is the appropriate, I think, ultimately, especially given the way that she lost, ultimately, like, the correct sort of view on her. But they, in the way that, like, they used flashbacks to back you up when you were telling Kayla the truth, they would often not back Kayla up and instead back somebody else up in ways like that. That said, that doesn't delegitimize what you did or your feelings or your vote by any means.
Right. I think with Kayla in particular, I mean, they're saying she got the villain's edit. That was the way a lot of people felt about her in the house, too, though. And I think that there were, there wasn't a lot of people that were like, oh, yeah, you know, none of the pre-jury came to me afterwards and said, you should have voted Kayla. Not a single one of them. So to me, that legitimizes it a little bit too, because of course they were in the house with us and have also seen what's gone on afterwards. And so I kind of felt like, okay, well, if they're all saying that Paris should be the winner and they're out of the house watching, they're out of the house being aware of all that's going on and all the personalities that are inside, that made me feel like it was the right spot too. You know, just watching their reactions during the jury questioning, it was very clear which side they were coming down on. And, you know, so it's a very interesting thing, that the concept of the edit, because of course you can't do, they can't make you be anything that you're not actually, because all of the stuff that they're putting on TV is stuff that you've said or done. Now they can choose which things you've said or done to put on TV. And that's the nature of the beast. And anybody who doesn't think that is kidding themselves. But you said it and you did it. And so you know, you can be upset with your edit if you want, but it is who you were at certain points.
If you were to tell me that you were interested in listening to our coverage, I think the main thing I would recommend is those final three live feed updates we did, where we went over Derek's game, Paris's game, and Kayla's game, because I think we did go over a lot of what she did wrong in terms of jury management. Even in my exit interview with her, I was like, you know, what was your strategy involving jury management? And she was like, yeah, I had none. That was a mistake.
And, right.
It was like, yeah, probably. We sort of tried to illustrate why Kayla might lose, despite the game that she played, and why Paris might win, why Paris might lose, all of those things. It'd be interesting to get a player's read on our read of the games and everything.
I will definitely go back. I mean, again, but the part of the problem too, and I'm having this problem too with dealing with the internet, is I can only offer you my perspective. Mm-hmm. And because I don't have the 15 minutes of conversation from before I walked in the room, I just have the conversation after I walked in the room. And so, I can only offer that kind of firsthand perspective, which is why I love this game so much, because especially in the world of the feeders and everybody that's watching all the time, you guys see everything, or almost everything. You guys see, you know, as much as humanly possible. But then when we're in the house, that kind of sense of omniscience is placed on us as players. And we don't have that benefit of knowing what happened everywhere else. We don't know. We don't have the benefit of seeing reactions and facial expressions that are done to camera when we're not looking. And so all of those things add up to how the outside world perceives what the game is. But it doesn't really relate to the perspective that we have during the process.
Yeah, and it must be such a weird experience, even just talking to me right now, because I, you know, as somebody that literally has notes for every single day of the live feeds, I have this huge amount of knowledge about the events, and you're coming out and you have your own experience, and you know, you're coming out to the internet, and they're coming at you with things that you said on the feeds that you probably don't even remember saying, and they're coming at you with like, oh, did you know this or did you know that, and especially if they're random people on the internet, you don't know if they're even telling the truth about, like, is this a thing that actually happened, or are you just making that up because you didn't like me or you remember it wrong? It must be overwhelming.
It really is. The idea that somebody was sitting there as I constantly just muttered to myself, paying attention to every word I say, and they weren't getting paid to do so. I understand that the producers are getting paid to do so, and they're going to watch me every minute of every day because they need to put a compelling TV show together. But the idea that people are out there watching me just mutter to a camera all the time is spectacularly, it's amazing. That happens at all stuns me, because like I can't listen to myself all day. So that other people are doing it by choice is awesome. It's so awesome. And I can only, like, I'd be desperate to see some of the things I said, because I know sometimes I just said some crazy shit. And sometimes I'd like to say crazy shit because I think it's funny. Sometimes it's not funny to some people, and sometimes it's over the line with some people. My line is a lot further than most. But yeah, just the idea that people, that you're sitting there like literally documenting everything that's happening in our lives, so that you can come on the podcast and talk about it is nuts to me. And I'm a huge CFL football fanatic who, you know, watches games religiously and goes to practice and interviews players, this same kind of thing, right? You know, oh, well, how come you didn't see he was open? Well, I was running in the other direction.
Yeah.
And there was 300-pound, 6'8" guys between me and that guy. So maybe I didn't see him 40 yards away, you know, but it's easy to say, well, from row 52, he was open. you know, and that's kind of what the experience is that I'm having now is getting through all of this stuff. But yeah.
We talked a lot about the jury vote. Would you say that you think that the majority of the jury did their best to vote for the player they thought played best? Because a lot of people are saying this was an emotional vote. It was purely bitter. They did not try to vote for the best player. Like, would you say that is true or false?
I would say that the majority of the jury made the decision on who they were going to vote for based on their own experiences. And the judge of who's played the best game is just a sum of the jury's experiences. So if the experience had no jury management, then that may be why Kayla didn't get the vote. There was never a position for me where she was going to do better than 5-2, I think. But at the same time, you know, I can't say until I watch it back if jury was bitter or not. I know where I stood. I knew where my rankings were for gameplay, and they were based on gameplay and not emotion. Whatever anybody says about me, I didn't really respect Kayla's gameplay. And there was a lot of, she did get manipulated often in my mind. And so as such, I didn't respect her as much as I respected other people.
All right.
So that's it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Hey, man, like I said, anytime, every time, I will talk to you as often as possible, future contributor, whatever. Whatever you ever want from me, I'm down.
Sounds great, man. You've been a good sport, and you were the first person to come talk to me, so I very much appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, man.
All right. See you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
And there you go. That was Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6, the first member of the jury and the first post-finale exit interview that I have managed to get out here. Interesting stuff from Ryan. The thing to note here, I think, is the idea that Kayla was trying to take credit for some moves in the game. What's interesting to me about that is that throughout the season, we talked about Paris taking credit for moves that she did not make. And the edit all season long was about representing moves in an artistic way. So it really seemed to be something that was very prevalent throughout the season. And interesting that that lands on Kayla's feet instead of Paris, based on both the fact that I think Paris had Maddie in the jury to advocate her case and Kayla had nobody, and also the fact that those final speeches went down the way that they did. Allie did tweet out a few days ago that her decision was not final going into the final two jury questions. Ryan seems to confirm this fact, saying that as far as he's aware, Allie and Olivia had not made their minds up. I'm very curious to hear about that from Olivia, who is next up on the list here. So the next podcast that comes out will be my conversation with Olivia. But Johnny seems to remain somewhat of a mystery. So very curious to hear what Johnny has to say about his vote. It sounds like the broken foot was a big factor in how much he interacted with other people in the jury house, and maybe also had an impact on how much influence he had on the jury. And perhaps we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when we talk to Johnny, see what he has to say about everything. Very curious. But next up will be Olivia, and very much looking forward to talking with her. So stay tuned on the dedicated Big Brother feed on iTunes or the reality TV wrap-ups feed. I recently put out a Taran Show episode with Survivor Maryland creator Austin Trupp, so check that out. There will be many more interviews heading your way. I have been in contact with Johnny and Allie and Maddie, all three of which are on board to talk with me about everything that happened in that jury house and more. So looking forward to all of those. You can also find me on Twitch lately. I have been playing some video games and also grabbing some guests to play social strategy games with me. I'm sure we're going to get some plenty of Big Brother players in those games. Those are going to usually happen on the weekends, maybe Sunday nights, something like that. So check that out. And of course, check out all of our Survivor coverage. Rob does a fantastic job, as we all know, with all of that stuff. But we also are going to be talking about Survivor tonight, if you're listening to this as soon as it comes out. This is Thursday night, and we're going to update everyone on the draft and talk about our thoughts on Survivor. I know Brent has some searing takes, or maybe not. They're not hot takes. They're very cold takes, but he's very hot about them. So that'll be interesting for sure. So lots of stuff to be excited about. I'm excited to talk to some more of these people. You can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaren for updates on all of this stuff. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.